Friends, in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. I would like to consider with you this Epiphany Day the first verses of the Old Testament lesson, and so you may follow along on the back of the bulletin these words. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is God's word. Please be seated. You know, a lot of people complain about how dark and gloomy it is at this time of the year, and some people are even psychologically affected by it, something we call seasonal affective disorder, and will even purchase special lamps that have the same frequency of light that the sunlight has to put in their homes to expose them to more light. That's how much we need light. But imagine being one of the residents, 4,000 residents of the little town of Barrow, Alaska right now. Barrow is located on the northernmost tip of the state of Alaska, far above the Arctic Circle. And if you think it's dark here in Ohio, just think about those poor people in Barrow. Because in Barrow, the sun sets on the afternoon of November 18th, and it does not rise again until January 24th, 65 straight days without the sun. Over 2 months of darkness. I guess on the bright side for the people of Barrow, that makes for some very spectacular viewing of the northern lights. And all of that darkness makes a great background for the fireworks when they have their Eskimo games on New Year's Eve. But still, the darkness is oppressive. Until finally, the sun peeks its head over the horizon again, ever so briefly on January 24th, and the whole town of Barrow, Alaska comes out to celebrate because finally there is light again. Today is Epiphany, and that word means to shine or to reveal. In Barrow, Alaska, after 65 days of darkness, when the sun finally reveals its glory again, that is Epiphany. In the church year, Epiphany is the season in which the Son of God reveals himself for all of us to see. Epiphany, I sometimes say, is that season in which we unwrap God's Christmas gift to us. And in that process of unwrapping, as we consider the great Bible stories of Epiphany, God is revealing to us this gift that he gave to us that was laid in a manger for us. And so for the next month, leading to a very early Ash Wednesday this year on February 6th, everything that you hear and see and sing and pray, all of the scriptures, all of the hymns, all of the sermons are going to be to serve one great purpose. To reveal to you. To unwrap for you. To show you the glory of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the Epiphany season can be summed up with one phrase, and it's our theme for the sermon today. From darkness to light. Arise, shine, the prophet says, to a people who had long been sitting in darkness. Rise, shine, he says, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has shone upon you. Because you see, the Bible pictures you and me and all of the children of men as a people living under a dark veil of darkness. See, the prophet says, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. And how well we know what God means by this darkness. Not the kind of darkness they're dealing with in Barrow right now, but the kind of darkness that is over us every day and is in us and we deal with every day in this world. The darkness that's in our face every time we turn on the news or read the newspaper. We saw just this past week or so, a drunk man gets in his pickup truck and he goes the wrong way on Interstate 280 and wipes out a family. And the darkness descends. Federal agents, drug agents, are now telling us about a new supercharged form of the drug ecstasy that is gaining popularity among the nation's youth. And the darkness deepens. And now they're having taser parties instead of Tupperware parties. Did you know that? Now come on over. Ladies, come on over to my house for the afternoon. And we'll show you tasers and how you can work them for your personal safety. And you can even buy one in a variety of designer colors. Pink is a hot seller right now. It's a dark world where we start having taser parties instead of Tupperware parties. And now U.S. health officials are trying to track down 44 people who were on board an airplane from India, along with a woman who was infected with a hard-to-treat form of tuberculosis, possibly the beginnings of an outbreak. And they have to determine whether these people have been infected. You don't need to dig very deep. You don't need to go searching for all of the evidence in the world of a darkness that has descended upon us and covers us. It's in our faces all the time. But you know where it's even scarier to find the darkness? How about looking right inside your own self? Now, of course, the mantra of our culture says that there is good in everyone. And yet, look at our world. Why does it go the way it goes? Look at your own life. Do a spiritual MRI on yourself, using the lens of God's Word to take a look inside. And here, the MRI focuses on the stomach. And look, it has become a god. It might as well be a carved stone statue that we bow down and worship to, because filling the stomach has become life's greatest and most focused priority. Far more important to us than feeding our spirits with the words of God. As the Lord says, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But look inside, and the stomach is the priority, and right there is darkness. The scan moves on up to the brain. Oh no, what's up there? We see all kinds of darkness. A brain filled with pornographic images, with guilt-producing memories, devious plots and schemes against people you don't like, and every other kind of darkness. And now, dare we do it? Do we move the MRI right down to our heart? Do we even want to look there? Anger, resentment, bitterness, hatred, envy, lust, unforgiveness, all of that darkness right there inside of me. Thick darkness is over the people, says the Lord. And not just 65 days of darkness, but a lifetime of dealing with this darkness. And it's not just me, but it's the next generation and the next generation after that. Until the Lord's coming, darkness over the peoples. But, oh, thank God for that word in this text. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The coming of Jesus Christ to this earth is described earlier on by Isaiah as the rising of a sun in a very dark place. People walking in the darkness, Isaiah says. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And the dawning of that light is the undoing of all of that darkness that I just talked about. Epiphany is when we finally grasp that our sins are forgiven freely by God for the sake of Jesus Christ, who took the burden of our guilt to the cross and paid their price. Epiphany is when you can finally take that load of guilt that you've been carrying around with you and give that burden to the Lord Jesus Christ and know with full assurance that you are clean and righteous in the sight of God. Epiphany is when you finally understand that salvation is not a do-it-yourself job. It is not even a cooperative effort, because the Lord Jesus Christ finished the job on the cross when He said, "It is finished," and it is simply through faith in Him. Epiphany is when you wake up to the realization that the transitory things of this life are just not as important as the eternal things of God. Epiphany is when you stop living for yourself and you start living for the one who died for you, who gave his life for you, who rose for you. And when those epiphany moments happen in our lives, it's as though the sun has risen upon our life after a long period of deep darkness, like the sun rising on Barrow, Alaska, after those 65 days of gloominess and despair. And finally, you can see that because of Christ, everything between you and your Heavenly Father is good. You're reconciled. There is peace. And you have gone from the darkness into the light. You know, I mentioned Barrow, Alaska, but let me tell you about another little town in Austria by the name of Rottenburg. For years and years, this town has been experiencing a dwindling population. And the reason that is cited by people who leave this town is the oppressive darkness in this town. Because Rottenburg, you see, is nestled at the base of a mountain called Rot Mountain, which blocks the sunlight from hitting this town November through February. Can you imagine living in a town like that? No sunlight for that much of the year. But thanks to some clever engineers, things might soon get a little bit brighter for this little town, because the European Union is going to pay about half of a $2.4 billion project to put a bunch of mirrors up on another nearby mountain that will track the sun across the sky and reflect sunlight back down onto this town in the valley. And if this project is successful, they say there are about another 60 or so towns in similar darkness that might eventually benefit from this gift of light. As the project's director has commented, "I'm sure we will soon help other mountain towns to see the light." Clever. Also something ironic, a little bit ironic, coming from a part of the world that is more and more spurning the light of this world. But the point is nevertheless made. We need light to live. We need light to enjoy life. And no light gives more life to us than Jesus Christ, who is the light of this world. And as those of you who have been called now out of the darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, remind yourself each day when you get up and you open those blinds, whether the sun hits you in the eye or whether it's cloudy like today, remind yourself to step now into the light, and to bask each and every day in the light of his love and his forgiveness, in the glow of his hope and his peace. And let every day be Epiphany. In the blessed name of our Savior, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting.